All right, ladies, good evening, good evening, good evening. My name is Afi Pittman, and welcome to the very first Let's Talk About It chat night, hosted by me, again, Afi Pittman with Author Faith Enterprise. And I'm also joined by my co-host, T.C. Spellin, author of Hi. The Waiting Room, and Phaedra Anderson, co-author of Walking Your Purpose. Hey, ladies, how you doing?
Great, ladies. How are you?
Good, 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 good. So this call is designed to be a safe place for you all as single women to talk about your dating and relationship challenges, specifically the ones that I think probably most are not brought up in your churches and your closest circle of friends. So on this call, my co-host and I are going to talk about some of those more difficult topics and then allow you to ask questions or even add to what we present so that we can foster a sense of community among like-minded single women who want to overcome those challenges. Just like the Bible says, iron sharpens iron. So this is a place where women can come together to sharpen one another in character, bearing, and conviction so that we are uplifted, edified, and prepared to go back into, out into the world and face it as true followers of Christ. So just a few housekeeping items and rules. The only rules here are that what is discussed stays here and that we respect one another's individual experiences. So if someone happens to disclose something that's sensitive, I'll edit that out of the replay in order to maintain their dignity and privacy, unless it's something that, you know, you want to share or you want others to hear so that, you know, you can help them. Maybe someone is not as far along in the journey as you are. And now for the fun part, at the end of the call, we are going to have giveaways for all of our live callers, and we will go over those details for our movie night that we're going to have tomorrow, and it's a free movie night in, and we'll give you the details for that, and it's going to be for tomorrow at 6:30. So again, tonight I have with me T.C. Spellin and Phaedra Anderson. Let me give you their bios and let them say hello to you and give you any information that I may have left out of their bios. So T.C. is the author of The Waiting Room, a 31-day devotional for single women waiting for the right husband. She is extremely passionate about leading single women who desire a mate to live a purpose-filled life by developing a profound relationship with God. Phaedra is the co-author of Walking in Your Purpose. She is passionate about teaching our younger generations of women valuable lessons about womanhood and godly living. And I, Afi Pittman, am the author of the upcoming book, How to Go from a Hot Single Mess to Ready for God's Best. And I focus on teaching never-married single women practical strategies to live happily single while preparing for marriage. And you can find me at authoroffaith.com/home. So again, good evening, T.C. and Phaedra.
Good evening, Afi. Hi, T.C.
So I wanted to give you guys a chance to give your websites and any other pertinent information that I may have left out of your bios.
Well, my name is Phaedra Anderson. I am from Philadelphia. I do have a website. It's Phaedra, P-H-A-E-D, as in David, R-A, Anderson.weleads.com. All of my information is there. All of my events can be found there, as well as information about the book if you want to go and just to see what other women have been saying about the book, Walking Your Purpose. And I do have my own book that is coming out this year that is also geared to help women. It's more of like a daily devotional just to help and encourage you on your daily walk on a day-to-day basis.
All right, all right. And TC, if you are there, I think we may have lost you for a minute. I think I see you dialed back in. I was just giving you guys a chance to introduce yourselves also in addition to your bio and your how to get in contact with you on your website.
Mm-hmm. Sure. You can find me at www.tcspellin. That's T as in Tom, C as in Cat, S as in Sam, E as in Peter, E as in Elephant, L-L-E. In at tcspellin.com, and you can find out where my next speaking engagements are. I speak at different churches. Not only do I introduce my book to churches, but I also teach on spiritual disciplines such as reading God's word, meditating, journaling, fasting, and even some practical disciplines, me time, which are all things that you can find in my book. And so I'm very much into empowering single women to developing a close relationship with God, because whether we're single or married, if we don't have a relationship with God, then we cannot live a purposeful life.
Amen. Amen. And so, ladies, the lineup for tonight is, TC, I wanted you to go first. I will go second, and then we are saving the most controversial topic for last with Phaedra. And TC is going to be covering loneliness and, you know, how to overcome that and just different things that she's learned that she can impart on us. And I'm going to be covering trauma, different types of trauma and how it impacts our relationship choices, not just, you know, other areas of our life. And then Phaedra is going to be talking about living a lifestyle of celibacy. So, TC, if you want to go ahead and kick it off for us, we are ready.
Sure, sure. So I want to start off by saying that, you know, loneliness is not a state of being reserved only for singles, right? So I think there's this misconception that if you are single, then you are definitely a lonely individual, and that is so not true. But loneliness is a feeling. It's a type of emptiness experienced by all people, regardless of marital status. So there are parents who go through periods of loneliness. There may be some parents on the phone right now. When your children grow up and move on, you may very well experience loneliness because they're not there for you to kind of nurture them and guide them and lead them and talk with them and yell at them and do the things that you normally do with your children. Adults, we become lonely when we reach a certain level of maturity. You know, sometimes we can no longer relate to our friends because we're either, you know, spiritually mature or maybe we've gone through so many things in our jobs where we are professionally mature and we just don't relate to our friends anymore. If you've ever lost a loved one, there may very well have been times of loneliness that crept up into your life because you're just missing that person. So loneliness will happen. As long as we are alive and on this earth, it will show up in our lives. But the question tonight is, how do we deal with and overcome loneliness as single women? You know, when we are longing to have meaningful conversation with a man and not with our girlfriends again, because I don't know about anybody on this phone, but there are days where I just don't want to talk to another female.
Yes.
Like, don't call me today, y'all. I am mad at the world. I got an attitude. I don't want to talk to no chick.
That's the bottom line, right?
Can I hear a deep, strong voice on the other end of my phone sometimes?
Yeah.
Right? Or, you know, when your birthday rolls around or if there's an extraordinary thing that takes place in your life and you just wish you had someone other than a family member or a friend to share that moment with, or when we just simply wish we had a man of our own to come home to, what we don't want to do is try to fill that void with the company of an ex or with someone you know wants you but you don't want them back, right? So this is very hard. It's really hard to do grown-up things. It's very hard to make grown-up choices. But making right choices protect us, right? So we have to be brave. We have to have courage when we're lonely and step away from the phone, step away from the smartphone, get away from the computer, laptop, or whatever kind of tablet or technological gadget you have. No texting, no emailing, no tweeting, no type of form of social media activity should we engage in. Why? Because these things are our enemy when we are lonely. Mm-hmm. We will find ourselves in a phony situation when we dig back into our past or when we try to take the sting out of loneliness and be with someone we know wants us, but we don't want them back. And that's a hard thing to do because when you're lonely, there's this longing. There's this deep longing within inside of us, and we want to satisfy that loneliness. We want to fill that void. We don't want to go through the process, but there are certain things that we just must go through to make us stronger. And as I mentioned earlier, we will be lonely, whether we're single or married. So we have to learn how to just be brave and acknowledge the fact that, you know what, right now I am lonely. And we just have to not reach out and make a decision that will find us in a worse decision that we're in, right? Mm. Because we can easily pick up the phone and call someone that we really don't want to be with. We can definitely go out and have fun with this individual. But you know what? That was only temporary because tomorrow or a week from now, you're not going to want to be bothered with that person. That person is going to become like a piece of gum at the bottom of your shoe, right? You know how it is when you step into gum, you're trying to mm-hmm. get it off. Now it's all gooey. You can't get it off. You won't be able to get rid of this person. So that's and you know what happens also when we're lonely, we end up manipulating someone else just to satisfy our need. And that's not right. So we shouldn't manipulate other people. We shouldn't use other people just to satisfy the need that we have. That is actually temporary, right? Another thing we don't want to do when we're lonely is drink alcohol and listen to slow music or watch romantic movies because y'all know the deal, right? You know, you'll go out shopping. You'll get your shopping list because you know this is exactly what you're going to do. I'm going to get some popcorn, get some ice cream, going home. Mm. I'm throwing on Mary J. Blige because that's what I would do. Who I would listen to, right? The My Life CD. Y'all know the My Life CD. Yes. Very depressing.
The Days of Lonely.
Taking some space, right? And all that will do is just stimulate your imagination and eventually add to your loneliness. So now you're deeper in this pit. You're not coming out of this thing for a while now. You have prolonged your freedom from being lonely. Another thing you don't want to do is look at old pictures and reminisce on past love. Remember, you are no longer with them for a reason. Or for several reasons, so don't do that, right? And don't raid the refrigerator and cabinets or clothing stores. Don't go through emotional eating and shopping sprees because that only leads to guilt, debt, and other problems. So these are things you don't want to do. These are all unhealthy ways of dealing with and overcoming loneliness. Now, here are some healthy things to do. First, as I already mentioned, we have to be honest with ourselves and acknowledge the fact that right now I am lonely and know that there is absolutely nothing wrong with being lonely. Again, people are lonely for many reasons and not necessarily because they're single. So if you're not honest with yourself, then you'll end up desperately seeking unhealthy ways, some of the unhealthy ways I've already mentioned, to cover up how you're really feeling. Another way of dealing with loneliness is make healthy, discern choices. Again, know that if you reach back into your past for a little comfort, you will be creating a situation that you will have a difficult time getting out of. Mm-hmm. Another thing you can do is get an accountability partner or a prayer partner. So, a lot of times many of us have, friends. We have some really good friends, and, reach out to that friend who's going to be honest with you, not the passive friend, but the in-your-face kind of friend. So you call that in-your-face kind of friend and you say, listen, this is what I'm dealing with. Every now and then I get lonely. Every now and then I want to call so-and-so. You know how me and this guy was. You know how long it took me to get out of that relationship. I really don't want to go back there, but I also am struggling with being lonely. So when I get into this place, I need you to help me through. I need to be able to call you. I need you to be able to talk to me or come pick me up, go out, whatever it is that you need this person to do to help support you and help guide you through the process. Share that. And don't be afraid and don't be ashamed because this is your friend and your friend will definitely support you. Again, a prayer partner. Your prayer partner and your accountability partner are usually two different people. The accountability partner is the one that's honest, is going to check you. The prayer partner will either pray with you or pray for you. So if you think that it's prayer that you need, if you're in a place where you just can't pray for yourself and you have the strength to pick up the phone and call someone to start interceding for you, do that. Or if you need to just holler, if you just really just need to scream, then let it out. I tried that one time. I was just losing my mind where I'm like, God, help me. Help me. Because it was the type of situation where I was picking up the phone and about to, find myself in this very crazy situation, and I just had to scream like, oh, my God. What else can I share with you? What else? Try, hanging out with some girlfriends or pull out your Bible. And I know that's the last thing a lot of us want to do when we're lonely. The last thing we want to hear is a sermon. The last thing we want to do is turn on some gospel music. The last thing we want to do is read the Word of God. But I'm telling you, the Word of God will shift an atmosphere. When you begin to praise God and read God's Word, He will fill you up with whatever it is you need. And I know that when we're lonely, we think that in that moment we need a man. But you know what? God can take care of that. And how can He take care of that? He tells us in Isaiah 54:3 that He is our husband. So now you got to think about, well, what is a husband? A husband is a friend. A husband is a comforter. A husband is a confidant. So just think about just reading God's word and praying and praising. In that moment, He could be your comforter. He could be your peace giver. He could just pour Himself out into you, and you'll forget about that lonely period. You'll be restored and refreshed and revived. And I know that's a hard thing to accept right now, but if you get into the habit of practicing it, I promise you, you will see a change. God tells us to cast our cares upon Him in 1 Peter 5:7. God will meet your every need. This is in Isaiah 58:11. He will never forsake you. He will never leave you or forsake you. Hebrews 13:5. I know a lot of times when we're lonely, we need that physical manifestation of a man. We just need to be hugged. We need to be kissed. We just need somebody just close by. And that's again, it's a hard thing, but we have to just trust that God's Spirit is always with us, and He will definitely show up for us whenever we call out to Him. And He will give us strength, and that's in Isaiah 41:10. So, again, when you're lonely, practice some of these healthy things. Practice pulling out your Bible. And the last thing I want to share with you is journal about your lonely, your loneliness. I keep a journal for many things. And on my birthday every year, I refer back to my journal to see the my growth progress, right? So if you keep a journal for during the times that you're lonely and you go back through your journals periodically, you may very well see that there is a trigger to your loneliness. Maybe there's something that you do to trigger the loneliness. Maybe there isn't. But at least if you journal your experience, you're going to be honest with yourself, and you're going to see where you actually tried to practice some of these things that I've shared with you, and you're going to see when you didn't try. You're going to see the results of you trying or no results at all. But that's just another way of making healthy decisions while you're lonely, to deal with your loneliness and to overcome your loneliness.
All right, TC, you kicked it off, and those were some yes, those were some good tips. And you were real. You were real about, you know, what it's like when you feel lonely, the reasons that was real. And it's like you said, it's hard to hear when you just want that physical manifestation. It's hard to hear that you have to go back to the word. But again, that's why we're doing this, so that you can remember being here on this call, what you heard, what you experienced, and that if need be, you can reach out to us. You know, and then start to reach out to your friends so that you don't fall back into that old pattern. So thank you, TC.
You're welcome.
Yes, TC, thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, so I'm going to keep rolling, and I'm going to – this is Afi. I am going to cover trauma and how it impacts our capacity to love, to be loved, and to make healthy choices. The reason why I decided to cover this is because – more and more, I'm starting to see how unresolved issues and unhealed wounds from trauma is impacting women, not just overall, but also in their relationship choices. So whether I'm in the room while it's discussed, or, like a young lady is telling me directly, you know, how it's impacted her life, I'm starting to see firsthand how important it is to resolve those issues and to heal those wounds that come up from trauma. And to be clear on what trauma is, what I'm referring to is things like domestic violence, rape, incest, sexual abuse, exposure to combat and resulting PTSD, bullying, victimization from sex or labor trafficking, or someone making an attempt on your life. And I'm sure that those are not everything that trauma encompasses, but that's everything that came to mind from what I've seen and witnessed, you know, with women talking to me or just being present while that discussion is taking place. But the point is that these are experiences, or traumatic experiences, and in many instances, crimes that change who we are, and sometimes to the very core of our being. And if you are someone you know has had a traumatic or repeated traumatic experiences where those wounds went unhealed, chances are those wounds are negatively affecting, like I said, your capacity to love, to be loved, and to make healthy choices in dating and relationships. So tonight, I can't, you know, cover everything like we would like in a counseling situation or something like that. But what I can do is give you three things to do now to start the healing process and to change your current course in dating and relationship choices if you're making destructive choices or if someone you know is making destructive choices. First, I would say seek the help of a trained and competent counselor. I've done some training in counseling, and because I've seen how it goes start to finish, I am a believer in the counseling environment, because when you have a compassionate and competent counselor and a woman who's wounded but she is willing to do the work and go beyond where she is, and they invite God into the process, there's no damage that can't be healed or reversed. And I promise you, it'll be almost like it never happened. You might have some scars from the wounds, but it's amazing how God can just completely almost erase everything that happened, so that all you're left with is not even a memory. It's more like a testimony. You're saying, this is where I am, this is where God brought me, and this is where you can go if you do the work to go beyond where you are. And another reason why I believe in the process is because the counseling relationship, when done correctly, it almost resembles the relationship that you would have with God as your counselor. Of course, you know, a person is not God. They cannot provide everything that God can provide to you, but they can be an objective stance, whereas your friends and your family members and maybe even your pastor, because they know you, may not be. And, there's some limitations there. But with a counselor, a skilled, trained counselor, it's a little bit of a different setting. And it's safe, and you're able to disclose things that will not be repeated unless you reveal that you are a threat to yourself or someone else. And as you consider counseling, remember that you don't have to tell anybody what's going on. And as I said before, it's supposed to be strictly confidential, and they will not repeat anything unless you reveal that you are a threat to yourself or somebody else. So for that, I would say search for reputable companies online, and then make sure that you interview the counselor before you start the process so that you can see whether or not they're a good fit for you. Because the last thing you want to do is get into a counseling situation or start the process just to find out that the person was never the right fit for you from the get-go. It's almost like any other service, like your hairdresser or anybody else that you invite to provide like a personal service. You want to know that that's the right person that's going to help you and that they're trained in the area that you need help in. And if you have trusted people in your life who can keep your confidences, you can also ask them for referrals. You'd be surprised at how many people have already gone through that process, and so they have contacts and resources that you would be able to have access to as well if you just ask. So the second thing I would say that you need to do on this journey is to let go of what happened. And essentially what that means is that you forgive your offender or offenders and release them and the offense to God. Because until you do that, you're going to remain stuck, or you're not going to heal completely, because you just can't hold on to that and fully embrace your healing. You can't hold on to the both and make progress at the same time. And the best way that I can put that is I once heard Tyler Perry say that he had a breakthrough when it came to the idea of forgiving his father. And if you're not familiar with the story, he had an abusive father. And he said that God told him, forgiveness is for you. It's not for them. Meaning that forgiveness allows you to move on with your life. It's like God's gift to you so that you can let go and move on to what else he has for you. It doesn't mean that you condone what happened or that you agree with it or that you feel that you deserved it. It means that you accept the fact that it happened, but better yet, you accept the responsibility that is not, you accept the fact that it's not your responsibility to make sure that the offender gets theirs or what's coming to them. It means you accept the responsibility, it means you accept the fact that it is your responsibility to heal so that you can be changed and learn how to live life with what you can't change, and that you can go on and do what it is and be who it is that God calls you to be. Now, if you were a victim of a crime and you're strong enough to pursue the justice process, I'm not saying that you shouldn't, because I think, you know, if it's weighing heavy on your heart and that's what you want to do, or if someone you know wants to go ahead and do that, I would say pray with them through that so that they can be edified and strengthened throughout that process. So I'm not saying that you shouldn't you know, take the steps to bring that person to justice if it was a crime. But what I am saying is that ultimately, whether you do that or not, you have to release the offender and the offense to God, because that's when your true healing begins. Luke 17:20 says that, "Then he said to his disciples, it is impossible that no offenses should come, but woe to him through whom they do come." So in essence, what I took out of that is, what's the use of holding on to something, an offense that you couldn't stop in the first place because it was inevitable? And also, what's the use of holding on to it if God is basically saying that the offender is not going to get away with it? He's going to deal with the offender. It may not look the way that you think it should look. It may not come out the way that you think that it should come out, but he's going to deal with that person. And something else to keep in mind is Hebrews 12:1, which says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us." Another translation says, "the sin that so easily entangles us." And in this case of not letting go, offenses will tangle you up if you let them and keep you trapped somewhere much longer than you ever need it to be. So letting them go and the offense go is only for your benefit. And the third thing I want you to do is commit to rediscovering your unique identity in God and Jesus Christ. And again, you can't do that until you fully let go of the offender and the offenses, because if you keep holding on to it, they will define you. And what that looks like is you're consumed with anger because of what happened. And sometimes just seeing that person or someone who looks like them makes you fly off the handle. Or maybe you start to take your frustrations out on new people who really do want to get to know you. They genuinely like you. They want to invite you into, you know, maybe they're in a circle of their friends or family or whatever. But, you know, you take your frustrations out on them. And then at the end of the day, when they start to distance themselves from you, you say, "Yeah, well, see, they were just like anybody else that hurt me anyway." But in the end, you miss out. You miss out, because what you're doing is you're distancing yourself from new opportunities to establish a life that God wants you to have beyond those offenses and the offender. So to start changing that, meditate every day on the fact that your basic identity goes back to Genesis 1:26. "Then God said, let us make human beings in our image to be like us. They will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock and the wild animals on the earth, and the small animals that scurry on the ground." And your identity as a woman is also tied to being a helper in the role of a wife to the right man, should that be God's will for your life. But because God is so gracious, he gives you the choice on how to live that out also. But what I want you to focus on is that God's description of your identity is where you reign and have dominion, not one where you are a victim or where you just accept what happened to you and you live out of a state of brokenness that could be healed. So if you were ever the victim of a crime or a traumatic incident, it does not have to define you unless you allow it to. So again, seek counseling and seek help if you need it. And then also throughout that, reach out to people that you know that you can trust to keep your confidences so you have a support system throughout that. Then let go of what happened, release the offender and the offenses to God, and then commit to rediscovering your unique identity in God and Jesus Christ. And so with that, I am going to move on to Phaedra. She has the topic of living a lifestyle of celibacy. If you are ready to start, Phaedra, we are ready also.
Yes. As Afi mentioned, my topic is celibacy. And I believe that most of the women that are on the call are Christian women. And I say that because as Christian women, the Word of God is our standard. And because it is our standard, I'm going to refer to the Word of God. And because we are Christian women, we can all agree that God is clear in his word that we are not to have sex outside of the sanctity of marriage. And it's not to keep anything from us, but it is to protect us. And that's something that we must understand. I dare not say that everyone, but I know that most people did not come into, were not virgins when they got saved. A lot of us, we've already had sexual experiences prior to being saved. So once we come into Christ, the first thing that we have to do is renew our mind about sex. In Ephesians, it says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new man. So once we come into Christ, our minds have to be renewed in regards to what does God say about sex, because we know about the world, what the world has said about sex, and we did it the world's way. But how do we do this thing God's way in celibacy and sex until we are married is God's way? And I'm not talking to you talking about celibacy as if someone that I'm going to be as transparent as I possibly can with you guys. I started having sex at 12 years old. Mm-hmm. And I didn't start practicing purity until I was 25. So I had sex for 13 years outside of the will of God. So I know the benefits of celibacy now that I didn't know before. And one of those benefits are, for one, you don't have to worry about STDs. Mm-hmm. When you're walking in celibacy. And
yeah.
We have, the Bible teaches that all sin leads to death. You have STDs now that will actually lead you to not just a spiritual death, but a physical death. Mm-hmm. You have AIDS, you know, that you become more susceptible to when you're out in the world having sex unprotected. And you don't have to worry about that when you're celibate. Also, you don't have to worry about unwanted pregnancies when you're celibate. Granted, there may be some unwanted pregnancies within marriages, but they're handled totally different than when you're not married to someone. I recall at one time when I thought that I was pregnant by a gentleman, and someone that I thought that loved me, and I loved him, and when I told him that I was pregnant, I was rejected. And that's a pain that God does not want that daughters to ever have to go through. So he says, withhold from that baby, you know, because if you do it my way, you'll never have to feel that rejection. You'll never have to go through that. Another thing, a benefit of being celibate, you don't have to worry about being a Christian woman and have to decide if you want to terminate a pregnancy. That's a hard choice for a Christian woman, because as a Christian woman, we understand that to be murder. You know, and you don't have to make that choice if you're walking in celibacy. Your back won't be against that wall to have to make the choice to terminate a life and to jeopardize your life as well as carry the emotional and the physical trauma that comes along with the abortion that a lot of people don't talk about. There's a lot, it's not over when you terminate the pregnancy. You know, there's a lot of emotional things that women go through after the fact. But when you're walking in celibacy, you don't have to deal with those type of things. Also, when you're walking in celibacy, your mind is clear. You can make better choices with the type of men that you want to date. Also, you're mm-hmm. able to see the red flag. And you're not overlooking the red flags, because when you're having sex with people, you see the red flags, but you're like, oh, it's not that bad. Mm-hmm. You know, because your body speaks for you. I like the way he makes me feel. Him being a little clingy, that's not a big problem. Mm-hmm. Him calling me a million times a day, that's not a big problem. You overlook those type of things, which can be signs that this man is abusive. Mm-hmm. You know, this man may have some psychological issues that I'm sweeping under the rug, because now I have blinders over my eyes because I'm having sex with this individual. And so you're able to make better choices when you're walking in celibacy when it comes down to dating men. Not only that, it saves you a lot of time, because I tell people from the door I'm celibate. It weeds out the ones that don't mean me any good. You know, and at that point, I don't know you. You don't know me. I don't care about you rejecting me. Rejection is totally different at that stage in the game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not wasting my time, and you're not wasting your time, because I'm already telling you what I'm not willing to do to keep you around. And if you can't accept that, then peace. and it saves you a lot of time. It saves you a lot of trouble. And when you're dealing with a man, when you find someone that's willing to accept that about you, you can start to develop and build a healthy relationship with that individual, because it's not about your body that he's attracted to. You've given him a chance to get to know you. You don't have to perform to keep him around. And you're actually just giving him a chance to build a relationship with you. And if it leads into marriage, it leads into a healthy marriage, because y'all have a friendship that wasn't built on anything but the two of you outside of sex. And you allow a person to get to know you. And it also shows that you're responsible. Because when you have sex outside of marriage, you're saying that you're irresponsible. Because sex is a gift from God. And any time that you use it outside of the sanctity of marriage, you're saying that I'm being irresponsible with God's gift. So we have to keep that in mind. One of the spiritual benefits of walking in celibacy is that it makes you whole as a woman. You get to know who you are. You're single. When I say single, I mean whole. You're one with yourself. You're one with God. There's nothing missing. There's nothing lacking. You're not insecure. And a lot of things that you're able to do, because the Bible says that the unmarried woman is able to satisfy God and do things that are pleasing to the Lord. So while you're walking in celibacy and while you're single, you have time to stay in the presence of God. And when you're in the presence of God, He's able to develop you and introduce you to the woman that you were created to be before you were first touched.
Yeah.
Also, you have time to be healed. What we're not taught in the world about sex and what's dangerous is that when you involve yourself in sex outside of marriage, you develop soul ties with individuals. And when you develop these soul ties, you start to bind your soul to things that it shouldn't be bound to, which can keep you in bondage for years. You have bitterness or some things that your soul can be bound by, anger, lust, perversion, rejection. All of those things are things that are attached to your soul once you become one with that individual, because the Bible says that If a man ties himself with a prostitute, he becomes one with that prostitute. In 1 Corinthians 6:16, that's the same with us. There is no difference. If you become one mm-hmm. with that man, you tie yourself with that man. You bind your soul to that man. And we have to be mindful of that, because a lot of our problems come with soul ties that we had as single women. I know with myself, one of the things too with walking in celibacy that you have to be very careful, because you can become prideful in that. You can become self-righteous in that, because here it is, you're single, you're holding yourself, I'm celibate, nobody's touching me, and pride can sneak in. Self-righteousness can sneak in, and you have to be mindful of that so that it doesn't creep in, because now you're saying you're better than the sister that isn't celibate, and you're not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not. So you have to be mm-hmm. mindful of that, and staying in the presence of God will keep that off of you. It will keep the pride off of you. It will keep the self-righteousness off of you, because, you know, had it not been for God, you wouldn't be walking in this thing. And had it not been for the anointing of God, you wouldn't be able to, which sustains you, you wouldn't be walking in it at all. So you have to be mindful of that. And another thing with being celibacy is no sex. Because you have a lot of women sitting in church saying that they're celibate, and they're still either, one, having oral sex performed on them, mm-hmm. or they're performing oral sex on others. That's not celibate. You're still involving yourself in a sexual activity, and your soul is still being bound. Another thing we have to be mindful, because, I mean, I'm being very transparent, because these are the tricks of the enemy, masturbation. If you're not, if you're involved in masturbation, you're not walking in celibacy because you're tapping into a realm that is allowing, that is causing your body to have a physical response. So now you tapped into something else totally different that, again, bounds up your soul. And John, the Bible says that he says, above all else, I wish that you prosper so that your soul may prosper. Your soul can't prosper if it's bound.
Yeah.
If you're bound in masturbation, if you're bound in fornication, that involves oral sex, is not just without being penetrated. That's a trick of the enemy to think that because I'm not being penetrated, I'm not involving myself in fornication, and that's a lie from the pit of hell to keep you bound. Walking in purity, walking in celibacy is the abstinence of all sex, whether it's penetration, whether it's oral, and whether it's masturbation. So the first thing that we have to do when we come into this thing as women of God is be renewed in the spirit of our minds. We have to get our thought patterns right. And the way we get our thought patterns right is to read the Word of God. Start to say what the Word of God is saying to us about these things. We have to begin to put on the new man. We have to begin to see ourselves as daughters of Zion, see ourselves as precious, and to value our virtue and our purity as women of God. And once you get to that place, it's not such a hard place anymore because your mind is renewed. You're no longer thinking as a woman out in the world. You're thinking as a woman of God. And your first and foremost, you want to please God and not man. Like, is it an easy thing? It's not an easy thing, but it is truly possible. It's possible, and it's something that it's possible. God will, if you want to be kept, he will keep you, and the Word of God will sustain you. The Word of God will satisfy you. So the word says that my people perish for lack of knowledge. We perish because we have some knowledge about sex, but we don't have the knowledge that we need in order to make better choices about our sexual partners. Because if we had that knowledge, which is the Word of God, we wouldn't have made the choices that we made previously. So the Word of God will sustain you in your walk. And the Word of God will satisfy you in your walk. I know it to be true. Like I said, I started having sex when I was 12 years old. And I had sex until I was 25. I had sex longer than I was living when I started to walk, when I started to walk this thing out. And it's only for your good. It's only for your protection. Had I known what God was trying to protect me from, I would have made a lot of different choices, And now I don't have to go through that. And to be honest with you, I don't miss it. Do I want a man sometimes? Yes, but do I want the things that come with that outside of marriage? I'm not interested at all. It doesn't feel good to have a man sleep with you and then leave.
I know, that's right.
And you're not seeing him for 3 or 4 days. Hey, where are you going? I didn't gave you the most important part of myself. Where are you going?
You better say that.
I didn't gave you my core. I didn't opened up. I didn't got naked. I mean, when I say naked, I mean physically and spiritually. Why open? What do you mean I'm not going to hear from you or see you in a few days? You're supposed to be here every day. I didn't gave you all of me. And you have to start to look. And once you start to see that thing like that, you're like, oh, nobody else is touching me unless I'm seeing you every night. And that's the thing that we miss out on. We miss out on the blessing of sex when we do it our way and not God's way. It's a blessing tied to this thing. You know what I mean? And you want that blessing and you want the approval of God on it. I don't want to do anything where I'm sleeping with a man and I feel God is turning his back on me. Because at that moment, I'm outside of his will.
Yeah.
And the spirit realm know that I'm outside of the will of God. So Satan has the authority to do something to me at that moment. I may not feel it at that moment, but after a while, because all sin leads to death, something is going to die. You know, that's a giving. At that moment that I've had sex with this man outside of marriage, something is going to die. And if you're a woman of God, the first thing that's going to die is your relationship with God.
Mm.
That's the first thing that you're going to steal, because you're not going to feel worthy enough or clean enough to come into his presence and say, God, I did it again. I'm sorry. It's me again. I'm sorry. But you come back as many times as you have to. You come back. Don't withstand and withhold and not come back. But at some point you get tired of doing it and you say, this feeling, this sexual feeling, it only lasts for however long it lasts, isn't worth that feeling, the aftermath.
Amen.
It isn't worth it. So and once you fall a few times, you be like, it's not worth it. I'd rather walk this thing out and do it God's way so that I can get God's blessing on it.
Amen.
And that's why I encourage women, you know, save yourself for your husband. You are a jewel. You are precious. You don't need every and anybody. I don't care if it's one person. If he's not your husband, that's one too many.
Mm-hmm.
That's one too many. You know, you don't want this person touching you and kissing you and, you know, and then you don't want to have someone around you that only has you around you because of how you make them feel sexually.
Amen.
Because I'm pretty sure I know that I've had some men in my company that I didn't really care too much for, but I liked the way he made me sexually. And you can best believe it's some men that feels the same, that felt the same way about us.
Yeah.
So they dealt with us, you know, they put up with us
to get with
you know, just because they liked the way we made them feel. And that's too much trouble for me. I don't want to have to keep you around, you know, just because I like the way you make me feel. When there's no substance to that relationship. And you're a woman of substance. You're a woman of God. You're a woman of worth. You're a woman of value.
Mm.
And you have to keep that first and foremost in your mind. You're worth it. At the end of the day, you're worth it. And I always tell women, make it cost him his last name. That's the price that you have over your head. Jesus already paid you. You already have a price over you, the blood. But when it comes to that, the price over your head is his last name. Make it cost them his last name.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
All right, ma'am.
Anything less than that, he coming up short. So I'll end on that note, ladies. Make it cost them his last name.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to quote you the truth, my sister.
I know that's right.
I'm about to tweet that. I'm going to tweet, y'all.
I know
that's
right.
That was
good. That was good. I like that. So, ladies, with that, with the last topic, with on ending on that note, to make him, what was it, Phaedra? Make it cost him his last name.
Right.
On that note, we're going to open it up to you guys for Q&A and discussion. Like, if you have questions or if you just want to share something that's on your heart and on your mind, now's the time to do that.
Well, I'll go first. I just want to say that the one on this last session on celibacy definitely spoke to me, and I'm at that point right now where I'm like, you know what, this is not worth it, and I'm cutting it off. And it seems so funny because it seems like once you declare that, the enemy has been coming nonstop. And, and you know, you get these texts, you get those phone calls, and it's like, you know what, I want more than that. I'm better than that. So to have, just for us to go through this definitely just confirms where my mind frame is, and that I definitely want to stick with that. And I feel good about it. So,
amen.
Amen.
Well, ladies, I have to say that I'm a married woman. And for the young lady that spoke about loneliness, you know, that's what hit me. Because to be married and to be lonely, you know, it's a hard pill to swallow, to be perfectly honest. But, you know, what I'm learning is that I can't look to anyone to make me happy. I have to make myself happy. You know, I have to lean on the Lord in order for him to give me my guidance. You know, and those helpful hints that you put out there are very good things. Because we can come in and, you know, we can try and indulge and drink some wine and eat some food and, you know, fall asleep and not really open up our Bible or turn on that gospel music or even let the Bible read to us, you know, and do all of those things. And, you know, just this evening, this is what I told myself that I was going to do. And 7 o'clock came and Entertainment Tonight was on and I'm thinking about who can I call on the telephone and what can I do, and my thoughts were just going everywhere else, and that was the enemy. And at 7:03 I remembered Phaedra sent out that message.
Yeah.
And you know, I dialed in and it was for me to hear just what was put out there. But all of you were very well, very good. Especially on trauma. And Phaedra, you just never know where you're going. But, yes, make it cost him his last name. That just it all by itself.
Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you for calling in.
Thank you.
And TC, I wanted to say, you hit a lot of points, but especially with going back in your past. Which ties into, which is why we have to get free from those soul ties.
Yes.
Because if you're still bound by your past in that way, that's the first thing you're going to do when you're lonely is revert back to your past. And which is why it's important that you have to have a relationship with God. You have to have that discipline in your life, and you have to fast. You have to learn how to fast as woman of God, and that will help you with the discipline, being a disciplined woman of God, because, the first thing you will do is revert to your past, which is why you have to, your mind has to be, the renewing of the spirit of your mind is a consistent thing. It's not something that stops anywhere in your walk in God. It's a consistent thing, and it's a process.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, go ahead, TC.
Oh, no, go ahead, Phaedra. Go ahead.
And Afi, your tools and about getting counseling, I think that was very beneficial, because a lot of times, most of our issues, yes, they are spiritual, but sometimes we do need to speak with a skilled counselor. Sometimes there may be some psychological problems that are going on that that we need to incorporate, never to exclude, but to incorporate with the Word of God.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to comment on what TC spoke about as far as being lonely. Being divorced for 3 years, it's been 3 years now. I think maybe that first year, I went through a phase where I felt that constant loneliness. But what really helped me through was, first of all, just constant prayer. But the thing that hit me like a ton of bricks was I had a conversation with a best friend of mine who had just gone through a divorce herself. And she made the comment that no matter what, she was determined not to be alone. And it was just something about those words that she spoke that hit me, and it made me realize that I didn't want to be back here in another 4 or 5 or 6 years where I'm back talking about divorce again. And so when she spoke those words, it let me know that I needed to take some time to heal and get in touch with not just God, but myself as a woman, as a woman of color, and to learn myself and to figure out why I was making the same bad decisions over and over again so that I didn't continue to make the decisions, because at the time I was in my mid-30s and I knew that I didn't want to be back here. And thanks to, man, a lot of prayer and just a lot of lonely days and just dealing with those lonely days the best way that I could, I'm still single, but I know who I am now. I know the mistakes that I've made. I know what I don't want and what I do want. I know what I desire. I know what I deserve. And unfortunately, she's back in another marriage where she's unhappy. She's ready to get out because she was so determined not to be alone.
Not alone.
And she's right there again alone. But it was something about those words that she spoke that day that just smacked me in the back of my head. And to this day, I haven't forgotten those words that she spoke. Wow. And so when I feel, when those days come and I feel a little lonely and, you know, I just pour myself into work and I come home and I'm like, oh, my God, this house is so big and it's empty. But then I think, thank God I have peace of mind when I walk through that door at night. I've got peace of mind.
Mm-hmm.
And there is nothing worse than somebody messing with your peace of mind.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Say that again.
Say that.
Yeah, I will fight you for my peace.
Exactly.
When it comes to my peace.
Yeah. You can't find peace nowhere outside that door. But when you walk through that front door, if there is no peace, you know they always say if mama don't have no peace, Nobody.
I am with you on that, sister.
Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like fear sometimes can drive loneliness too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes we can be afraid to be alone. But we really have to get to a place where it's okay, like, it's okay to be alone and to enjoy that space, that physical space of being alone and that mental, emotional, spiritual space, because it allows us to, as you already mentioned, get to know who you are, get to know yourself.
And you really have to be able to, I'm sorry, go ahead. You have to be able to identify, are you alone or are you lonely? Because as long as you have God, you will never be alone. You might feel a little lonely, but you will never be alone.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And they are two complete different things.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And on loneliness, one thing that I've learned over time is I think loneliness can be an indicator that you're not keeping up with the connections that you do have. You're not really reaching out to the people who love you, who want what's best for you, who would have you to come over to your house, could you love on you and do the things that are going to build you up and edify you. You're not reaching out to those people. And like you said, there's a difference between being alone and being lonely. The Bible says, you know, if you fall and you're all alone, you're in trouble. You know, just because you're lonely doesn't mean that you're alone. You know, you do have friends that you can reach out to, but sometimes, you know, your paths in life just don't intersect, you know, like they did in a particular season. So you just have to learn how to keep in contact with those people in different seasons and different phases and not, I don't want to say throw a pity party, but not just focus on the negative and say, oh, my God, you know, where are all my friends? Why, you know, why is so-and-so? Just, you know, just learn how to be in that particular season and be thankful for what you do have. And then, you know, just tell God how you feel and then say, you know, I'm going to be ready the next time, you know, the next season of my life brings, you know, crosses paths with that same person. I'm going to be ready. I'm going to enjoy it and I'm going to appreciate it, because you never know how long the person's going to be around. You don't know what the next season of life is going to bring. So I think that's a good point about a difference between being lonely and being alone.
Yeah.
And you know, when you're feeling that loneliness, date yourself. Take a lot of people, a lot of women won't go to dinner by themselves. Well, I go to dinner by myself.
Mm-hmm.
I go to the movies. And I've come to a point where I love to roam solo. I get up on a Saturday morning and I take myself to catch me a matinee, and I sit there and I get me some popcorn and I laugh or cry or whatever's going on in the movie. Mm-hmm. I date myself on a regular.
I get dressed up and take myself
to dinner. Or whatever I have to do, but I do it because I'm okay with that. I've got
mm-hmm.
friends that are married and are dating, and they swear that they need to hook me up. But I'm okay.
Mm-hmm.
I am okay. I feel a little lonely at times, especially, you know, when those lights go out at night. But I'm okay because I've got that peace of mind, and I don't have to put up with nobody's fooling.
Yeah, and you know, even with that, there have been times, because I date myself as well. I travel by myself, and it's
mm-hmm.
funny how when people see that you're a single woman, like I've been to Aruba, like I've traveled by myself, and I'll be at the restaurants, I'll get dressed up, I'll put my gowns on, I'll get nice and pretty, and they want to come talk to me, and I'm like, leave me alone. I don't. You guys came with your friends, your spouse. I'm okay. I get so upset when they try to come and talk to me and I'm in the restaurant. So, you know, I have my book and I'm like,
not for you.
Yeah, like, no, don't sit over. Like, I'm okay. I don't want, you know, because this is he and I time. You know, I read the word. I meditate. I love one another. He loves me back. He shows me different parts of himself, and I'm like, you can't pay me. I won't get this again from nobody. He's the only person that can give this to me, and you can't come in between this time.
Mm-hmm.
This, you know, and I take that time very, very personal, very personal, and people look at you and they think that you're alone, and I'm like, no, I'm at peace.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm single, and people fail to realize single means whole. It just means you're whole, you're one.
That's right.
Doesn't mean lonely. Right. It means I'm single, I'm whole, I'm complete.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I'm not looking for nobody to define me. I'm not looking for. I mean,
right.
You come alongside of me. You know, we can work this thing out. But I'm not looking for you to make me whole. One and we can become
exactly.
two, but I'm not trying to. I'm not looking for nobody to make me one. I'm one by myself,
mm-hmm.
and that's something that we women have to get to that place where once you're one and he's one, and God is more concerned about you being whole than married.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely,
mm-hmm.
because if you're not whole and you're married, you're going to make a whole mess out the marriage.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So
and, you know, we've been conditioned to think that if we don't have somebody, something's wrong with us.
Mm-hmm.
And we
mm-hmm.
have to get out of that way of thinking. We've got to lose that mm-hmm. frame of thinking because there is nothing wrong with us. There is nothing wrong with me. There's nothing. I'm a beautiful black woman. I'm successful. I'm educated. But I'm okay. There's nothing wrong with me. I'm just waiting on God to send him to me. And when he does, if he does, great. If he doesn't, if it doesn't happen, I'm okay with that too.
Right, right. Because your soul is still prospering. You know,
yes.
Your soul is still prospering. You're still whole. You're still being the woman that God has called you to be.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, yes, we want to be married, you know, and there's nothing
mm-hmm.
wrong with that. That's your desire. It's a beautiful thing. But in the meantime, between time, let God prepare you.
Mm-hmm.
Let him prepare you, you know, spiritually, emotionally, so that you're not involved. The last thing you want to do is get involved with a marriage and you have these soul ties. Now you're comparing your husband to your past.
Right.
Amen.
You know, so you want to get free of all of those things, and that's part of being whole.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of being complete and whole and single, so that you are prepared and ready and you can go into this marriage. You can do it God way. You know, you don't have sex until your wedding. You get the blessing of God on it. And not to say that it's going to be picture perfect, but at least you give your marriage a chance.
Right, right.
Yeah, and another way of another way of becoming whole is doing exactly what Afi talked about, where she talked about seeking help from a trained counselor. And I know that was in the context of trauma, but a counselor could lead us into wholeness and help us to figure out who we are and to help us to heal those emotional wounds.
Yep.
And I believe Afi said that there's no damage that cannot be healed or reversed, and that is so true.
That's cool.
We just can't allow our pride and our fear to prevent us from seeking a counselor, because I think that so many people who need counseling, that they're prideful, you know. And we can be prideful when we know that we need to sit down and talk with a professional to help us work through some things. And we can't be prideful. We cannot be, we cannot fear to keep us from getting our healing in whatever way God would have us to get that healing.
Amen.
And I also wanted to comment on the other thing that Afi talked about is forgiveness. You know, too many of us are walking around with unforgiveness in our hearts, just carrying, you know, bags and bags of unforgiveness, and we got to realize that that hurts us more than those individuals that we're holding grudges against. Yeah. So, I mean, wow, there's so much meat in this conversation. I'm glad it's being recorded.
It is just
so much meat. And Phaedra, you know, I totally agree with everything you talked about celibacy. I am also practicing what I call abstinence, and I've been practicing abstinence for several years. And, you know, God had called me to this place maybe 10 years ago. It was 10, 11 years ago, my last serious relationship. And I was like, he got to be talking to somebody else. You know, looking to the left and looking to the right, looking in front of me, behind me, all around me. Like, it got to be somebody else he's talking to. It cannot be me. And let me just clear this up. I don't want anyone on the line to think that I've been abstinent for 10 years. No, I've been practicing. I had moments of falling, but I don't fall anymore because of so many of the things that Phaedra talked about. And I remember the last time I had sex with someone, and it was good, you know, it was like that. It was with someone that's always been in my pocket, you know, that person I could always reach out to, and I got sick, and I later learned that was God's conviction. Like, I was sick to my stomach, and I was like, you gotta get up, you gotta leave, you gotta go.
Wow.
And he thought I was crazy. I was like, no, 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 you got to get up out of here. You got to go, you got to go, you got to go. Like, because I'm not even supposed to be doing this, and I'm all messed up right now, you know. And I remember that. I remember that feeling. I remember that. And if nothing else has kept me, it's been that experience, the remembrance of that experience, you know. Like, when you're down and you're just desperate and you just need to, you need something to help you not to make that mistake again. That is the thing that I refer back to. And the crazy part is that was 7 years ago, and I hadn't heard from that person up until last month. And I called my best friend. I said, you see, Satan is trying to take me out, because I have not heard from this man in 7 years, and he called my job and left me a message at work. And I said, Satan is trying to kill me. Like, Satan thought that this was my Achilles heel. And I thought so, too. But I'm glad that he called, because now I know that I'm so much stronger. I'm so much wiser. I'm so much healthier that his phone call did not faze me like I always thought it would. I say to support, you know, Phaedra, any woman on the line who is dealing with abstinence, so, you know, stick with it. And if you fall, get back up, start all over again. You know, absolutely.
Yeah, it's like you know, not to compare it to, but it's like riding a bike. You know, you fall until you get it right. You will fall. You may fall your first couple months. You may fall your first couple of years, but at some point you stop falling. You know, because that last fall really scraped your knees really bad. You know, you remember the sting of that last fall, and you're like, you know what, I'm going to stay on this thing and ride this thing out. It's not worth the fall. It's not worth the fall.
And I think what God is most concerned with in the falling throughout this process is where your heart is. Like TC, you said that you were so convicted, I think you were saying you were physically sick. When you feel convicted, you know, if you fall, it's one thing to be like, well, I fell, I'm just keep doing it because, you know, there's no point in me picking it back up. But if you know, when you fall and you say, you know what, I did it again. I can't believe I did it again. And I think it was you, Phaedra, that was saying, just say, God, it's me again. Just go back as many times as you need to. I think God is most concerned with where your heart is. And I know for me, the most meaningful change in that whole process, because I'm celibate too, the most meaningful change in that whole part was where my heart was. Before, it was very much on what I wanted to do, and then it was split, and then it was just, okay, you know what, I'm done trying to, you know, this is not working, because I'm trying to do what I want to do, and it's a mess, and I don't want it anymore, and I just gave my entire heart to God. I said, you know, I might still have my little moments, but at least I know where my heart is, and like how Phaedra was saying, like, you start to realize how men view you when they are having sex with you outside of marriage. That starts to change your heart and your mind about it too. So to the young lady who was saying that, you know, it was confirmation for her, keep going. Don't answer those texts. Don't answer those calls. Do what you got to do to avoid and to stay on course, because you will eventually get to the part of this journey where your heart is in the right place and God will see you through.
Absolutely.
That's good.
Absolutely. That's good. And to touch on something that Phaedra had mentioned earlier, you know, start fasting if you don't already fast.
Yes.
A young lady who started, who's practicing celibacy, you know, start fasting. You know, when we fast, our spirit decreases and God's spirit increases within us. So if you think that you do not actually have the strength to go through a fast and complete it, you don't have to have the strength. God will strengthen you to get through. And just like abstaining from sex, fasting will also give you clarity of mind as well. You know, when you fast, you begin to make better, healthy, and discerned decisions. You begin to see things clearly for what they are. You begin to see people for who they are. Right? And while you're fasting, will give you discernment. So you'll be able to discern who folks are, discern which decisions you need to make in your life. And so definitely try fasting. And for me, this, you know, I just went all in and kind of hardcore, you know, about it, cold turkey. Like, listen, there's certain music I'm not watching, so certain TV shows I'm not watching, certain places I'm not going. You know, like, I gotta eliminate all this stuff from around me. I got to get rid of all this stuff, everything, all at once. And if I could pick it up again, then I'll pick it up later on. But right now, I just need nothing but positivity around me. I need God's spirit around me, because I enjoyed sex then. I still enjoy it. I know I do, although I'm not having it, because I'm looking forward to the day that I can have it. And it's
definitely.
Like, you know, you know, so I'm like, I like it too much. So I got to get rid of some things, some people, some activities. So you know what? You do what you need to do in order to help you to just be successful in that walk of abstinence and celibacy. Please do what you need to do.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, all right, ladies, I think everybody who wanted to ask questions or input, has done so. But if anything comes up while we're finishing out the call, just let me know, and then we can circle back on that. And then also the replays will be available, and we'll, you know, give you our contact information along with our, the information for the giveaways and the movie night in just a second. So Phaedra and TC, you guys had some giveaways for the callers tonight, right? And if so, then go ahead and let them know what, you know, the details are and how to get them.
Sure. Phaedra, you could go first.
I do have a copies of my book, Walk in Your Purpose. It's a book with, I am a co-author with 12 other co-authors. You can email me your email address and your address, and I will send you a free copy of the book. My email address is Phaedra, P as in Paul, H, A as in Apple, E as in Edward, D as in David, ra.anderson@yahoo.com. Feel free to email me, send me your address if you're interested in a free copy of the book, and I will ship the book out to you.
Awesome. And to the first three people who email me and mentions tonight's chat in the subject area, you will get a free copy of my book, The Waiting Room, a 31-day devotional for single women waiting for the right husband. And you can send that email to tcspellen@tcspellen.com, tcspellen@tcspellen.com. Yeah, that's it.
All right. And then, ladies, ladies, this is Afi for the callers tonight for the next week. This was the kickoff to the opening of the Let's Talk About It community for single women who need a safe place to go to discuss issues like we discussed tonight. It'll be on a monthly basis. You'll get two free support, or not two free support calls, but they will be included in your monthly subscription. So then I'll have that and also other resources that'll help you keep on track. And then we will also possibly have more of these calls in the future. So if you go to authorofmyfaith.com/letstalkcommunity, you will be able to subscribe there, and you will get half off of the membership price for the month, each month that you subscribe for the duration of your subscription. And then for the movie night tomorrow night, if you all are interested, I wanted to invite you to have a girls' movie night in. And we will watch Something New with Sanaa Lathan. And if you're not familiar with the movie, basically love comes in a package that she wasn't expecting. And it is a awesome movie that will help you see how to view new men that come into your life and not discount them or play them up based off how they appear or how they are packaged. So if you are interested, we will be kicking off at 6:30, and I will send the details for how to get your copy of a movie and then also, you know, view in instructions. Like if you want to host a little mini party at your house and view in there, you can do that. Or if you're just going to be by yourself, then that's okay too. And I'll give you like all the hashtags and everything that we're going to have for Twitter or Facebook, Pinterest or whatever other social media outlet that you like, so that we can all kind of chat with each other about what's going on the movie. So if you're interested in that, I have your email address as you signed up, and I will send you the details for tomorrow night at 6:30. So if all hearts and minds are clear, that would be the end of the call. But if anybody has anything that they wanted to state before we end, then just go ahead and let us know.
Well, I just wanted to say, can I get the email for Phaedra again? And I want to also just conclude that this has been a great chat. I've totally enjoyed it, and I got like 4.5 pages of notes, guys, so I plan on going over
That email address is P as in Paul, H, A as in Apple, E as in Edward, D as in David, ra.anderson@yahoo.com. And I'm also on Facebook, so feel free to inbox me or friend me or anything like that as well.
Awesome.
Oh, yeah, and I meant to mention that, too, is both of these ladies have very active social media outlets. So if you're not connected with them or all of us, then, you know, those are good ways to kind of get those tidbits and nuggets that we've been putting out now or on this call. So like Phaedra was saying, my Facebook is Afi Pittman. First name is Afi, A-F-I. The last name is Pittman with two T's. I'm on Facebook, Twitter at Author of Faith, and also Pinterest and Google Plus. And you can look me up by my name or Author of Faith. So for Phaedra and TC, if you could give your social media outlets as well so the ladies would have it and they can connect with you, that would be great.
Okay. So for Twitter, I'm at TC Spellin. For Pinterest, it's the same, TC Spellin. The same for Google Plus, TC Spellin. And you can email me at tcspellin@tcspellin.com and request my Facebook page. And that's only because my Facebook page is a like page and it is an extremely long address. So if you email me, I'll send you the link and you can just click on it and you'll be able to start engaging with me via Facebook. I think I did everything. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And as I mentioned, I am on Facebook. Just look under Phaedra Anderson, or it may come up as Phaedra Millionaires Anderson. Again, that's P as in Paul, H as in Apple, E as in Edward, D as in David, R-A, Anderson with an O. And again, my email address is Phaedra, P as in Paul, H, A-E-D-R-A dot Anderson at yahoo.com. And I'm also on Twitter as Sister Phaedra. And it's just S-I-S-P-H-A-E-D-R-A. So it's Sis Phaedra on Twitter.
Mm-hmm. And this is TC again. Also, you can call me at 609-373-2617. Again, that's 609-373-2617. If you're interested in any type of book club appearances, book signings, interviews, speaking, teaching engagements, whatever. Or if you just want to chat, that's fine.
All right, ladies, this is Afi. I wanted to say how much I enjoyed the call. And I enjoyed hearing from all of the ladies that contributed tonight, whether we were presenting or just calling in. And I thank you I know how much it takes to talk about, you know, individual experiences and things like that. So I thank you for giving us your time and attention. And I just pray that you walk away with something that helps you to walk forward in transformation and true change according to the Word of God. And TC and Phaedra, I thank you so much. You guys have just the connection that I've made with you in a short amount of time, I think is testament to, you never know who God will bring in your life. So I thank you for being who you are and being the blessings that you are and just being strong women in the faith to stand with me and to stand with the women on the call to help them and let them know that you don't have to fall back. You don't have to keep making that same mistake over and over again. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Amen. And can we remain on the line to talk?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure. And I can, what I can do is turn the recording off if y'all want to, you know, if you want to talk about more intimate things, and we can, you know, you guys can do that too.
Okay.
And ladies, I just want to say thank you to Afi and to TC and to the callers as well. I value your time because I know that there's other things that you could have been doing. And I just want to say thank you for calling in. I greatly appreciate you.
Yes. Thank you, ladies. Thank you for this time, this conversation. Thank you to those who shared. As Afi mentioned, that is very difficult, especially when you don't even know who you're talking with. So thank you for your
comment. Yeah.
You know, so I appreciate it.
All right, ladies, that concludes our first Let's Talk About It chat night. I think it was a success. So good night. Have a good night. Have a restful night. Have a peaceful night and go with the grace of God. God loves you, so do we. And take care. And until the next time, don't give up. Bye-bye.
Amen.
and bye-bye.
Bye.
Be blessed.